Hello, and welcome to Social Media Marketing GPS, a series of American Marketing Association podcasts to help you build a roadmap to social media success. I'm your host, Nancy Bacala, Director of Online Content for the AMA. Today's podcast is the sixth in a series of podcasts on trends and best practices in social media. Joining me today is our moderator, Toby Bloomberg, author of a new ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, featuring 40 of today's most influential thought leaders in social media. Toby is a recognized speaker on social media and is a frequent presenter at a number of AMA conferences and events. She also serves as moderator of the AMA's Interactive Marketing Online Community. Toby's blog, Diva Marketing, at divamarketingblog.com, is included in the Forbes list of top 20 marketing and social media blogs by women. Her company, co-branded with her blog, Bloomberg Marketing Diva Marketing, helps the people within organizations join the digital conversation to create corner grocery store relationships without getting blown up. You can also follow her on Twitter at Toby Diva. We're also very excited to welcome our special guests for today's podcast, Peter Kim and Kate Niederhofer. Peter Kim is Managing Director, North America with the Dachas Group. He's a leading thinker and analyst on social business, which he discusses on his blog, Being Peter Kim, at beingpeterkim.com. He's been quoted in the press by media outlets, including CNN, CNBC, NPR, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal. Peter was previously an analyst at Forrester Research, focusing on social technology and marketing strategy. Earlier, he managed international marketing operations, e-commerce, and digital marketing at Puma AG, focusing mainly on European and Asian development. Peter's a graduate of the University of Virginia's Darden School and the University of Pennsylvania, and you can connect with Peter on Twitter at Peter Kim. Kate Niederhofer is a principal at Dachas Group. She joined the team from Nielsen Online, where she was the VP of Measurement Science, liaising between research, product, and R&D. Kate focused on developing internal methodologies, introducing established Nielsen data to consumer-generated media, and consulting on innovative client requests. Kate has spoken at industry events and conferences, including Enterprise 2.0, WOMA, Web 2.0, and ICWSM. She has published in several academic journals, including the Journal of Advertising Research, Annual Review of Psychology, Journal of Language and Social Psychology, and Handbook of Positive Psychology. Kate completed her PhD in social psychology at the University of Texas at Austin, and you can connect with Kate on Twitter at Kate Nieder. That's K-A-T-E-N-I-E-D-E-R. Toby, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Nancy. It sure has been exciting to bring tweets to life in this podcast series. Kate and Peter shared their insights about social media measurements and ROI in Chapter 10, Metrics That Make Sense. Welcome, Kate and Peter.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, and thanks for taking time to expand on this very important issue. In keeping with our short format, a book based on tweets, we'll try to hold our conversation to about 14 minutes instead of 140 characters. We thought it would be fun to begin each podcast with a few tweets from our guest interviews. Then we'll go into a more in-depth conversation. I'll begin off with some of the tweets from my intro, and then Kate, since your tweets came first, would you go next?
Sounds good.
And then Peter?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. First, get your facts. Then you can distort them at your leisure. Mark Twain. Give SM its due respect. Hold it to standards of accountability as you would any marketing strategy, PR, research, advertising, etc. Begin SM strategy development with specific goals and objectives. These indicators of success should support your biz objectives. SM's new metrics based on influence and engagement, reach, respect of content creator, extent of conversations, you define meaning. Social media metrics are new value propositions. Although they can be measured, they hold only the value that you associate with them. Kate?
I would start by putting the emphasis on measure rather than success. People confuse value and return. Metrics that tap into the depth of social interactions are not ROI per se. Well-worn paths in social science let us move beyond the, quote, black box, from a campaign to a community to social business. We can measure the connections, conversation, and meta-communication. We just need to shift our thinking to be open to more social constructs and value beyond the intended bottom line. Measuring, taking different perspectives on data you create with conversations and connections in social media yields unexpected value.
Yeah, and this is Pete. I guess it's funny. I guess I've never wished to have a lisp, but maybe if I did, I could sound like a Tweety bird because of the reasons it's here. So I'll treat a few that I have tweeted as part of the series. Marketers first need to own up to their weaknesses in left brain thinking, which is usually outcast to the department's fringe. Success requires a coordinated approach, starting with a holistic strategy and supported by each department's strengths. The entire business needs to embrace measurement and results, not trusting blindly in the merits of social media on faith alone. And finally, in a social business, measurement is the backbone of success.
Thank you. I loved it. And I love the Tweety Bird. Maybe that's what we should call the next series, Tweety Bird Tweets. Peter, for me, your very last tweet, in social business measurement is the backbone of success, and you even in your tweet capitalized the word the. That really says it all in, I think, even less than 140 characters. So let me ask you, both of you, what are the elements that should be considered in social media measurement? Where do you begin?
Yeah, I'll start. And Toby, you covered this in one of your tweets, actually. And where to begin is where is and how the business is being measured today. Because this, I think the quickest way to turn a majority of an organization off would be to start in with new metrics and new terminology and trying to change an organization's approach to measurement wholesale. Many companies actually learned that with the rise of digital, and as we started to talk about unique visitors and page views and time spent, and those are just new concepts to people who had been before that measuring the number of people who walk through a turnstile, or the amount of sales or average order size, number of packages shipped at the end of the day. So companies need to start with what they measure today, and then start to figure out how some of these new behaviors and activities in social media start to layer in on top of those.
Yeah, I agree with what Pete said. It seems like people come to us with a sense that there should be success in social media as a gold standard, and that success for everyone is probably the same thing, and we just don't know what it is, and we need someone to just tell us and overlay that onto our business. But really, it's about a client coming to us and a person saying, here's how we measure the success of our business. We use Net Promoter Score, or we're measuring advocacy, or we're measuring recruitment, or sales. It's as simple as that. And then we work backwards from that and say, okay, here's a proxy for that in social media or social technology usage. And we can get at that same thing so that it makes sense to your organization and you can continue to measure the ultimate success of your business in a new way.
And that's a wonderful point that you just made, is measuring your business in a new way. And you both said that when we dive into social media, for many people, it's a strange new world. And to begin with a known factor and then to move into something that's different, I would imagine gives a lot of people some sense of comfort.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And control as well.
That's a good point, especially in an environment where there is little control. So putting those bumpers around them. You also mentioned something, Kate, about value beyond the bottom line. Could you tell us what you mean by that?
Sure. I think a lot of times we get stuck in this mode of reacting impulsively to what can be measured. And so we're just focused on the surface and, like Pete mentioned, unique visitors or time spent or the things that just seem so obvious. And sometimes there's value beyond that may not factor into that sort of bottom line that we're looking at, but instead it's a more qualitative approach or a more emotional approach, things that are often confused. But you see that people are not only able to do their work more quickly and more efficiently, but their quality of life has improved at the workplace, or they're making connections that help them achieve other goals. So I think it would be cliche to say that it's just a qualitative dimension on top of the quantitative numbers you're mentioning, but I think it is another plane or another dimension of what we sometimes refer to as emergent outcomes.
You know, it's and as we go through thinking about extent value beyond the bottom line, I think the first reaction or a first reaction could easily be, well, that's touchy-feely stuff. That's, you know, what about the numbers? Where's the hard and fast ROI that comes with, you know, measuring, and, you know, we should be able to line up beans one after another and come up with an answer. That being said, what we have to think about, even if you look at the discipline of accounting itself, I'll admit I was not, I did work at some big six firms. I guess I'm dating myself now because I don't know if they're even considered big anymore. But if anybody who's studied accounting knows that there's this line item that's called goodwill, and it's in fact used to measure value beyond what you see in the assets and liabilities and accounts receivable and payable on a balance sheet. So it would be great for, you know, any marketer who has run into a green eye shade accountant talking about ROI to, you know, have a discussion about goodwill, and then talk about where value can be attributed and imputed in both very hard and fast tangible ways and in some lighter, more intangible ways as well.
Yeah, there are all sorts of industries that have built-in practices for measuring intangibles, knowledge, thought, all these IP for a long time, and investments even. We've been comfortable with that idea. So sometimes I think it's just a matter of habituation that there's a bucket that we haven't necessarily figured out how to capture with the right construct or perhaps the right label. But that fuzzy stuff really does exist in several established industries.
Very interesting points that you've just made. And can you give our listeners some hints, some pointers of how they might position, I don't know, let's call this the new ROI to their upper management when they get pushback from the bean counters?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of that depends on what role a person might be in who's trying to start or get support for a social media initiative. So when we typically see a lot of interest coming from two or three roles within an organization, someone who might be in corporate communications or public relations, someone who might be in a more traditional marketing communications or brand marketing role, or perhaps an IT-focused role, so looking at the different technologies that are, you know, considered social technology for collaboration or community building or outreach. And the place to start is what we mentioned early on, which was think about how initiatives get justified today. And then when you're thinking about the investment in time, in terms of technology, in terms of perhaps third-party resources and services, that's how you start to build the cost side of the equation. And then when we're looking at potential revenue, it's either ad equivalency or communications equivalency that we can expect to get from social media impressions, because these things can be measured by the good old reach and frequency. And so there are a lot of tools out there that can be applied to what the impacts of social media can be for an organization.
Kate, your thoughts?
I think Peter and I have spent a long time working on that issue, and so it's something that we've sought consensus on. So I think it goes back to our original point of what is important to your organization today, and how can we help you shift your frame of thinking to incorporate social technologies and the data and metrics that are associated with social into your existing framework, so that this doesn't seem like a jump off a cliff and people are comfortable, in control, and have a sense of predictability.
And the pushback that the C-suite might give us on going into an ROI that is totally financial based, what you're saying is there are other options that can be just as valuable. And we can measure those as well.
I think there are a lot of different ways to measure value. I think, and while this might seem I think a good place to start or one area to think of is looking at how traditional advertising is measured. And if traditional advertising, meaning 30-second spots, out-of-home placements, print and radio ads, can be measured in an organization or are measured, those paths are certainly well-worn and should be explored by those hoping to pursue social media marketing. Even on the internal side, company IT professionals or others who are looking more at collaboration and internal applications of social media could look at the cost benefit of an intranet or of email usage. So I think it's unfair for organizations to, because something is new like social media, to try and impute some sort of higher order accountability for a channel. And just because we've lived with the immeasurability of something like the 30-second spot for decades doesn't mean we should let that get away without being measured along the same criteria.
And with that, let's give our listeners some added value. And if you would, Kate and Peter, tell them where they can reach you on Twitter.
Sure. This is Kate, and you can reach me at Kate Nieder, KateNieder.
And Pete is at Peter Kim, PeterKim.
And I'm Toby at Toby Diva, and 14 minutes flies back really quickly. Let's pass it back to Nancy.
Great. Thanks very much. These were really great insights, really bringing it back to business value and business strategy, which is really what social media should be about as well. So thank you very much. And we've been talking today to Toby Bloomberg, Peter Kim, and Kate Niederhofer. Thank you all for joining us. And thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA Social Media Marketing GPS podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts in the social media series by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. Make sure you sign up for our RSS feed on Marketing Power so that you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. And you can download Toby Bloomberg's ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide for Social Media One Tweet at a Time, by visiting divamarketingblog.com or the Social Media Podcast Series page on marketingpower.com/social media. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala. Thank you for joining us.